Welcome to the Deep Dive. You know, if you're not deep in the world of land management, May can feel like, well, a bit of a breather.
Yeah, a quiet month.
Exactly. Turkey season's wrapping up, the big holidays are a ways off. Maybe you're thinking about the Indy 500 or just, you know, enjoying the warm weather.
Right.
But, and this is the key, if you own or lease hunting property, this supposed quiet time is actually the most urgent, most critical window for getting prepared.
That is absolutely the truth. We're doing a deep dive today into some content from the American Hunting Lease Association, the AHLA, and their material really shows that May isn't a pause. It's a mandatory pivot point.
A pivot point. I like that.
Yeah. We're looking at the whole life cycle of managing land responsibly, everything from, you know, urgent spring safety checks to the essential insurance you need, and even how to add real value for your members.
So our mission today is to cut through all that and give you the concrete steps, the operational blueprint. We're pulling out what landowners and hunters need to be doing right now in May, so that when October and November show up, your safety is locked in, your liability is covered, and your access is totally guaranteed.
This is your shortcut to a secure fall season, and we should probably start with timing.
Okay.
It's just fascinating that the source material says that, you know, outside of deer season, May is the favorite month for the folks at AHLA.
Really? Their favorite?
Yeah. It's the moment the real work, the strategic planning for fall, actually begins. But before you even think about a food plot, you have to talk about risk management.
And risk management starts where?
It starts high off the ground.
Okay, let's unpack that. We're talking about tree stands. They're probably the single most dangerous piece of gear on any hunting property.
Without a doubt.
They've been sitting out there all winter getting hammered by ice, snow, sun. So what is the one non-negotiable safety check that has to happen in May?
It's the full teardown, a complete inspection of every single tree stand.
So not just looking up at it from the ground.
Oh, no. This is not giving it a nod from 50 feet away.
Yeah.
The operational mandate is clear. You have to pull them down to ground level.
And what are you looking for specifically?
You're meticulously inspecting the straps, the cables, the stand platform itself, the seats. You're hunting for UV damage, for rodent damage, any metal fatigue, rust.
So full forensic analysis, basically.
It has to be. If you skip this step, you are absolutely rolling the dice with a catastrophic failure come November.
That makes perfect sense. But I have to ask, why the big rush in May? We've got 3, maybe 4 months until fall.
Right.
If I wait until August when it's, you know, less muddy,
yeah.
What's the real world problem with that?
There are two huge consequences. And the first one is just about pure labor, the environmental cost.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if you wait until July or August, the heat and humidity are just brutal.
Hmm.
The ticks and shiggers are out in full force, and the woods, they become almost impenetrable. The brush gets so thick.
So a job that took 30 minutes in May.
Now it's an hour of just strenuous, sweaty, frustrating work. You're fighting heavy brush just to get to the stand, let alone drag it down.
You're making the essential job of safety so miserable that you're likely to just not do it.
Exactly. You're setting yourself up to avoid it. That's a powerful reason to act early.
Okay, that's a great point. What's the second more strategic reason for the May deadline?
It's all about agricultural access. Property logistics. This is key if your hunting land is anywhere near tillable farm fields.
Okay.
Once the local farmers sow their seeds and the crops are in the ground, which happens right about now, you lose all right to drive your vehicle across those fields.
Ah, so you lose your access. You can't drive your truck or ATV to the stands that are sitting, what, 50 or 100 yards off a field edge?
Precisely. The sources are really specific on this. They say trying to drive a truck up to those stands becomes a pipe dream.
Pipe dream?
Yeah. If you miss that pre-planting window, you are locked in. You're walking in and carrying out these heavy, cumbersome metal stands by hand.
You're just making the job 10 times harder.
You're increasing the labor, the time, the potential for injury, all because you didn't time it with the planting schedule.
Right.
You have to use that short window before the fields go from mud to crops.
That is a fantastic insight. It connects land management directly to local farming. It's not just about gear. It's about strategic timing.
Right.
So, okay, once the gear is safe, the next logical question is, how do you protect the investment? The land itself, the people using it. And that brings us straight to specialized insurance.
It does. Managing a hunting lease has, I mean, a lot of inherent risk. A general homeowner's policy just doesn't cut it when you have organized recreational activities going on.
So the AHLA, they've structured their risk management around specific policies for specific needs.
That's right.
What are those specific offerings? How do they cater to, say, the landowner versus the person leasing the land?
They break it down into two big categories. For landowners, they have what's called vacant land insurance and then also hunting lease or club insurance. For the hunters, the leaseholders, the main one is that same hunting lease insurance. And then for more professional setups, they have guides and outfitters insurance.
Let's dig into that landowner side for a second. Why would a landowner need both vacant land insurance and hunting lease insurance? That seems like it might be redundant.
It's a great question, and it's about where the liability comes from. The hunting lease policy that specifically covers the liability from the organized hunting activity.
So if a member or a guest gets hurt while hunting.
Exactly. Or maybe damage caused by the hunting activities themselves. That's what that policy is for.
But the vacant land insurance covers what then?
That covers liability when there is no organized activity, or liability that comes from the property's condition itself, regardless of the lease.
So like a trespasser.
Think of it like this. A trespasser falls down an old well on the property, or there's some kind of general negligence claim that has nothing to do with the hunt club's operations. The vacant land policy fills that gap. It protects the landowner from that broad, non-specific liability.
That's a key distinction. It's coverage for the asset itself versus coverage for the activity on the asset.
You got it.
So if a hunt club gets that standard hunting lease insurance through the AHLA, are they just getting a policy? Or is there more to it?
It's way more. It's explicitly defined as a complete risk management package. It's designed to handle liability from every single angle.
And what's in that package?
When you get that insurance, you get four specific things that all work together. You get the actual hunt club liability policy, of course.
Right.
You get an AHLA membership, a customizable hunting lease agreement, and this is critical, an online portal to manage all the documents, the renewals, everything.
That customizable lease agreement sounds like the backbone of the whole thing. It makes sure the relationship isn't just a handshake.
It turns it into a legally defined partnership. It clarifies everyone's responsibilities.
Now, there was a financial note in the material that I want to ask you about. It said that all premiums are 100% earned. For the average person, that sounds a bit technical. What does that actually mean?
That's a really important piece of information. It's about your financial commitment. With standard insurance, if you pay for a year and you cancel 6 months in, you usually get some money back, right?
Right.
A prorated refund.
Sure.
When a premium is 100% earned, it means the insurance company considers the whole year's premium paid and earned the second the policy is active.
So if I buy the policy in May and then decide to sell the land and cancel it in September,
you typically get no refund. The entire annual premium is kept by the insurer.
Why do they do that?
It's common in these specialized high-risk policies. The thinking is that the highest risk, the liability in just setting up the policy and managing that initial risk, happens right at the beginning. It really reinforces the seriousness of managing these activities.
That absolutely clarifies the level of commitment you need. Okay, let's shift from protection to value. The sources show the organization is always asking, what more can we do for our members?
Yeah.
And that led to a pretty big announcement about membership upgrades.
That's right. They gave a sneak peek in their May content about an optional premium membership upgrade that was coming in June. It focuses on two things, better protection and real purchasing power.
Okay, let's start with the protection. What's the main benefit there?
The liability coverage gets a huge increase. It jumps from the standard level up to $2 million per occurrence.
$2 million. That's a massive boost.
It is. A huge boost in financial protection for everyone involved.
Is that just an upsell, or does it signal that the risk environment itself, the chance of a huge lawsuit, has actually changed in the hunting world?
It's definitely reflecting a changing risk environment. $1 million in liability is pretty standard, but $2 million, that's a much stronger defense against a really catastrophic multi-party event.
Where the legal and medical bills could just skyrocket.
Exactly. They can quickly blow past a standard limit. Landowners have a lot of personal assets on the line, and in a big lawsuit, that extra million is a critical layer of protection and, frankly, peace of mind.
That context makes it feel a lot more strategic than just a sales pitch. So what's the second part of the premium membership, the purchasing power piece?
This is where it gets really interesting for anyone who's an active hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Members get access to big year-round discounts on essential gear. We're talking hunting equipment, clothing, knives, optics, you name it.
And who are these discounts from?
From a network of over 60 of the top hunting companies in the country. It's designed so that if you're active in the sport, you'll save so much money on gear that the cost of the premium membership basically pays for itself.
Discounts from 60 top companies.
No.
That's a huge perk. It makes the value of membership really concrete.
For sure.
Now, shifting just a bit, beyond direct member value, the AHLA also highlighted a commitment to the community through a charitable partnership.
Absolutely. They featured their partnership with the Catch a Dream Foundation.
Tell us about them.
It's just a powerful cause. They grant wishes and experiences to children who are facing life-threatening and terminal medical conditions.
And there was a specific event running that connected the hunting community to the foundation, right?
Yes. It was the 2022 Draw for Dreams raffle. And the grand prize was, well, it was a premier New Mexico elk hunt for two, highly sought after.
So you're funding a great cause while also getting a chance at a dream hunt.
That's the model. And the key detail is that 100% of the sales from that raffle went directly to the Catch a Dream Foundation. It maximizes the impact.
What a fantastic way to connect a community's passion to a really profound cause.
It really is.
Okay, so to ground all this talk of safety, insurance, and strategy, the source gave us a real-world case study, a featured property listing.
Right. We can look at the listing for property A0546 in Brown County, Indiana. It's a perfect example of the kind of land that needs this level of management.
What are the specs on it?
It was a 96-acre property, and what jumps out right away is its strategic location.
What made the location so valuable from a hunting point of view?
It's all about being next to low-pressure land. It was near some recreational spots like Cordry and Sweetwater Lakes, but the critical feature, it bordered the huge government-owned woodland of Camp Atterbury on its entire east side.
For anyone who doesn't know Camp Atterbury, why is bordering a massive government tract like that such a big deal for just 96 private acres?
It basically turns those 96 acres into a strategic resource. Camp Atterbury is a massive area where human pressure is really low or highly restricted.
It's a sanctuary.
It's a sanctuary and a bedding area for deer and other game. They feel safe there. And then they travel onto the adjacent private land like this property to feed. So your 96 acres benefits from the habitat of thousands of acres of government land next door.
Wow. So you're not just managing your land. You're managing the travel corridors for animals coming out of a safe zone.
That's it. And the internal habitat on the property itself was incredible.
What did it have?
Classic Midwestern diversity. Indiana hardwood timber, a beautiful, clear, rocky creek winding right through it.
So you have water.
You have water. It had two main wooded ridges for bedding and stand locations, flat, fertile creek bottoms for feeding, and even a cleared meadow near the center.
That mix of ridges, bottoms, and meadows. Hmm. That's the ideal trifecta for habitat, isn't it?
It is. It ensures you have diverse food and cover all year round. And the listing also pushed the investment potential.
It wasn't just a hunting lease.
No, it was a destination investment. It was close enough to Indianapolis to be a weekend getaway where you could build a dream home or a cabin. It blended recreation with long-term real estate value.
Which just reinforces that these are high-value, multifunctional assets that absolutely need this kind of comprehensive risk management.
No question.
This whole deep dive really brings us full circle back to the role of May. It's the month you have to shift from thinking to doing. You have to focus on those three core tasks. Preparation.
Yeah.
Getting your tree stands inspected before the heat and the crops come in. Protection. Securing that specialized liability insurance and getting clear lease agreements.
Mm.
And partnership.
Right.
Maximizing the benefits and community connections your membership offers.
May truly is the operational pivot point that sets up the safety and success for the whole rest of the year.
And if we just take a final look at how necessary all these formal systems have become, I mean, the required $2 million liability limits, the 100% earned premiums, the legal agreements, it does raise a pretty big question.
It does.
What's that final thought for our listeners?
Well, if this comprehensive, formalized risk management, the insurance, the legal docs, if this is now the standard non-negotiable part of a hunting lease, how does that professionalization fundamentally redefine the old relationship?
It's the relationship between who?
Between the landowner, the hunter, and the shared finite resource of that private land. We've moved so far beyond a simple handshake agreement. We're now requiring all parties to think of land access not just as a privilege, but as a formal, risk-mitigated legal partnership. And that's something worth really mulling over before you sign your next agreement.